Listen, I know that God's got a great word for you tonight. I know that God's going to do something in your life tonight. And we're going to talk about a familiar subject, actually. As a matter of fact, I touched on these verses earlier this year. But I really believe that God's got an awesome angle that he's going to take us through this next month in this journey of community. It's an exciting month for my wife and I. We get to branch out in our community and our family. Our baby boy is due anytime. So, you know, I'm like, you know, we're kind of like waiting on that. Like, you know, the doctor says, like, any day, Pastor Joey and Marnie, he had to follow after me. You know, we knew that he would have a baby as soon as we told him we were going to have a baby. So, I'm just kidding. Pastor Joey and Marnie, they're due this year, this month as well. So, I mean, we have like a crazy hectic month. So, I know Pastor Joey and I are both like, we got to get in before the baby comes, because otherwise, you know, I may not even be here for March if Stacy's in the hospital or whatnot, but I will be here. So, I'm going to make an effort. But you know what? Tonight, that's a whole different tangent. Sorry. Tonight, community. I just wanted to announce that because, you know, maybe next week I might be a dad. So, who knows? All right. I want to start off, I want to read you a transcript of a comic strip known as Peanuts. Are you guys familiar with Peanuts? The Peanuts strip, you know, Snoopy and all them, and Lionel and Lucy and all the different characters. So I want to read you a transcript of a Peanuts cartoon strip. In a Peanuts cartoon, Lucy comes and she demands that Linus change the TV channels. And she threatens him with her fist if he doesn't. And he responds back to her and says, "What makes you think that you can walk right in here and take over?" She responds back to him and says, "These five fingers, individually, they're nothing. But when I curl them up and I make a fist like this, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold." Linus responds by saying, "Which channel do you want?" And turn away and he looks at his hands and he looks at his fingers and he says, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" How many of you guys know that, you know, fingers individually, if you try to poke at somebody, you're not going to do much. But when you grab a hold together, when you get everything in organization and unity together, it makes a weapon, like she said, that is terrible to behold. So, you know, tonight what I want to talk about is unity in community. Unity in community. Tonight we're going to kick off our whole subject and spearhead about community by talking about unity within the community. Now, how many of you guys know that we are a community? Right? Whether or not you're in shift, whether or not you come to the main service at the Rock, whether or not you go to another church, whether or not, you know, you just accepted God in your life, you are a member of a community greater than you can even imagine. I mean, we're not just talking about the 150 some odd people in this room. We're not talking about the 22,000 people that call this church their home. We're not talking about the some 200 or 230 million people in the United States who call God their Lord and Savior. We're not talking about the 2 billion people around the world. You are a great a member of a great community, and each and every one of us has a part. And you know what the thing about it is that when numbers come, it's easy to get disorganized, right? How many of you guys know that when you've ever had somebody over at your house, you got one or two friends over, no problem, right? Hey man, you want something in the fridge? Yeah, go help yourself. I got this, I got that. But all of a sudden, when your friends start calling friends and when they start calling people, and all of a sudden it's like, man, there's like all these people at your house. You know, man, I don't got enough drinks. I don't have any food. I don't got anything to do. It's too loud. I can't hear. It gets easy to get disorganized. It gets easy to lose your place within the crowd. And an important part of being a member of the community is to realize that while there's a different people in different positions in different places all throughout the body of Christ, that there's also strength is in joining together. And that it's not necessarily beneficial to us as Christians to come, to sit in the back, to not to meet anybody, or to not branch out and to go say hi to somebody you've never seen before. That doesn't help us as the body of Christ, because that doesn't encourage unity within the body. You guys know what I'm talking about? Where, you know, you can say, man, you know, so-and-so, I've seen that person across the way, or I saw that person at my work, or I've seen that person at my school. He's been in five or six of my classes, and I don't even know what his name is. You guys know what I'm talking about in that? You, at the end of the year, you look at the yearbook, and oh, his name was this, or whatever. That doesn't encourage unity, because it doesn't expand us. It doesn't help us to get out of our seat, help us to get out of ourself and to strengthen together. You know, individually, like Lucy was talking about, my fingers, they don't do very much. But when we decide to get off of ourselves, when we decide to branch out and to realize that when we as a body of Christ, like the fingers do, when we decide to join together, we have strength in our numbers. We have strength in our organization. We have strength in our unity. But how many of you guys know that if one of our fingers, I won't hold one of them up, but if one of our fingers is out of sync, right? What is the effectiveness of my fist? If I'm to go to punch somebody, if I'm going to go to deliver a blow to an enemy, what happens, right? With my pinky finger sitting up there, how many of you guys know I'm going to break my finger, right? And the guy is going to probably laugh at me like, man, you know, what are you doing? So we, as the body of Christ, while we have community, and that's what she's talking about here in that example of the fist, oftentimes we find ourselves in the church doing something like this with our fingers out or, you know, something going on like that. And we're trying to be effective in the body of Christ. We're trying to be effective when things come our way, when faith comes our way, and we're trying to do something for God. And what good are we doing when we're just poking something? We're just poking at the devil. We're just poking at the issues in our life. So we as the body of Christ need to get to understand that there's in community, we have to be a members of unity. We have to join together. We have to band together. If you guys have your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is back there in the OT, Old Testament. If you find the book of Proverbs, go back towards the New Testament. If you find the book of A Song of Solomon, go back towards the Old Testament. It's sandwiched right in between. Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter. I'm going to start off in verse number 9. Two are better than one. Right there. Reinforces everything I've been saying right off the bat. How many of you guys know that? Two are better than one. We've read in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, when God, or 32nd chapter, God says if one can put 1,000 to chase, two can put 10,000. So we look at when two come together and they work together, it's exponentially more effective. And so when we band together, when we unify together, when we join together, it is better than us just being by ourselves. So he says that in verse number 9, two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. Verse number 10, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. Here we go. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one up to help him. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. How can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And here we go. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. So I want you to imagine in the subject of community, here he talks about a threefold cord, talking about a rope. Let's imagine a little cotton piece of rope, the kind that you can buy from the Walmart to hang your dry cleaning on, or not your dry cleaning, but to hang your clothesline on. It's called a clothesline. It's cotton, and if you put it underneath your shoe and you pull on it, you can break it. But if you take that one piece of strand and fold it over against itself and you pull on it, it gets a little bit harder because now you've got double the strength. And if you take that strand again one more time and fold it over itself three times, you've got quite a strong rope. And if any of you guys have ever been into mountain climbing or rock climbing or seen any of those things like that, or been into sailing, you know, my wife and I have a small little sailboat. You see that the ropes, if you cut them open, there's like 20 or 30 strands of rope woven inside. They're all intertwined together so that when the tension, when the pressure comes, when the pressure of the wind, or when the pressure of falling or holding on or sustaining our own weight comes, that rope has no chance of failure. Guys, it's the same principle in the body of Christ. Oftentimes we try to do things alone. We try to go throughout our battles in life, or we try to go through our faith walks, and we try to do whatever it is that God has had us to do to just to live out our purpose in life. And we go through it and we think that, oh, you know what? I can just do that by myself. I can get through it by myself. I don't want to include anybody in my life. I don't want to let them know what's going on. But here we see that the Bible tells us that if one person falls and he's by himself, how is he going to get back up? But when there's somebody next to him, he can lift him back up. And then they go along to say that one person, when he's faced opposition, he's pressed down easy. But two people can withstand, and three people, even more so, is not easily broken. And it continues and continues on. We as the body of Christ, our analogy, just like that rope, guys, the stronger we are together, the more intertwined like the rope we are together as the body of Christ, the more on the same page we are, and therefore the more effective we are for God's kingdom. So many times we try to do something in the name of God. We try to, you know what, I want to go witness to somebody, or I just want to do something for you. God, just use me. And we go out by ourselves, and we're just discouraged when the world comes at us, or, you know, we just get negative results, or you don't see anything happen. But when you get with somebody, how many of you guys know when you're with somebody to build you up, to strengthen you, somebody, you go talk to somebody and you know, say, man, I just wanted to let you know that God bless you. Maybe that's all it takes, is just to say God bless you. And that person says something mean to you. If you're on your own, you know, you're going to drive home, you're going to be walking, you're going to, man, you know, forget it, I'm not going to say it again. But if you've got somebody there to build you up, you know what, man, don't worry about it. Just people are the way they are. You know, you just keep worrying, or you just keep serving after God. And you know that you begin to build each other up. We as the body of Christ need to realize that we cannot do things alone. We cannot think that we can be effective for God if We're going through this journey by ourselves. Jesus tells us that our walk with God is not going to be an easy one. He tells us that we are going to have to take up our cross and follow him. He promises us that the world will hate us if we follow him. He tells us that we will face persecution, and actually we'll read about that in a minute. But if we are together, if we band together, if we can hold together, like he says, a threefold cord is not easily broken. So when the persecutions, when the trials, and when the temptations of your life come, if you're trying to do life alone, like the book of Ecclesiastes says, it's easy for you to be pushed down. But when you're joined together in community, when you've got a strong group of friends, when you've got a strong group of people that you can rely on, whether they be in the young adults, whether they be in the main sanctuary, whether they be at your college campus, somebody that you can talk to, somebody that you can lean on, somebody that you can bounce ideas off of, like the Bible says, a threefold cord is not easily broken. And we as the body of Christ, guys, have got to realize that it's time for us to shed our individuality. You know, we're in an iPod, an iPad, an iTunes, a MySpace, or whatever, you know, whatever it may be, a generation. And we need to begin to shed ourselves of that mentality and begin to realize that we are not an individual nation. We are not an individual group of people, but rather we are a community of people all together, all serving one purpose, but we all have individuality. We all have individual talents. We all have individual gifts. We all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. And together, when we join together, like the Bible says, a threefold cord is not easily broken. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter. We're going to be basing our points tonight out of the book of 1 Corinthians. That's in the NT. New Testament. 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read you verse number 12. For as the body is one. Start off right there. For as the body is one. Now we're actually going to go the opposite of what I was. That's why I just spent so much time explaining all of us together. You know, we have all our individuality and we strength together. Now we see that the body is one, but now it has individual many members. So again, it's the same concept, but he's kind of saying it backwards. We are one, but we're individuals. So the body is one. We together all serve a same purpose, a common goal, but all the members of that body are many and are one body. So is Christ. Verse 13, for by one spirit we were baptized into one body, where Jews, Greeks, slaves, or free, all have been made to drink into one spirit. What he's saying right here is he's talking to the church and he's saying, listen, and he's speaking to their culture, to their time, whether you were Jewish, whether you were Greek, whether you were a slave, or whether you were a free man, that pretty much covers everybody in that span, in that social span at the time. He says, no matter who you are, no matter what social stature you come from, no matter what background you are, no matter who you work for, no matter where you've been, no matter where you're going, you are all one body. And you have been made to become into one body. Verse 14, in fact, that the body is not one member, but many. So tonight, guys, I want to focus on community, and I want to focus on the sense that we need to realize that we are a group of many. We need to realize that we, in ourselves, cannot do it. But, you know, when we join together as a community, we can grow with somebody. You know, we can join with somebody who says, you know, their strength fulfills in our weakness areas, and in our weaknesses, and our strengths might fill into their weakness areas. And we together can join, and we can be an effective body for Christ. So tonight I've got three super simple points about being in unity. We're talking about unity in the community. Number one tonight I want to talk about is not all people are the same. That's the bottom line, guys. Not all people are the same. You know, it's so many times, and I'll tell you this right off the bat. I am most guilty of this of all, because a lot of times I have the ability, when it comes to figuring things out, when I look at a puzzle, or when I look at a problem or a computer program or something that's put in front of me, a task or a duty, I have the ability to just figure it out. It's just something that God's blessed me with the ability of that kind of engineering, creative mindset. I can look at a building, or I can look at a project and see how it's put together, and see how it can be built and how it can be strong. And I have the ability to do that. But then when I delegate that task to somebody else, or, you know, in the case of me, in the transition of me going into the video department, there's been times where I've just expected the people that worked in the video, the people that worked underneath me here in the young adults, to be able to do the exact same thing the same way that I did it, because I could figure it out. But how many of you guys know that, right? How many of you guys have ever talked to somebody and you've just been, man, you're on the subject, and you're just hammering it away, and you're in the zone, and they kind of respond, right? And you're just kind of like, what? Like, did you not hear anything I said? Right? Because we are not all the same. We do not all have the same thought. My wife and make beautiful noise come out of my mouth. But man, when I try to sing, my dogs start howling and they start groaning. Because we're not all the same. While some of you in this place may have been blessed with a voice to sing, I have not been. And so we can use that as an example to see that, you know, some of us have strengths in certain areas. Some of us have weaknesses in certain areas. And if we try to live life alone, then our strengths can never help somebody's weakness. Our weaknesses can never be helped by somebody else's strengths. But when we, as the body of Christ, recognize that we need to be in unity together, like a threefold cord, a strand that's not easily broken, when we realize, you know what? I am not perfect. I do not have the ability to do this, but I can do this. And all of a sudden, I join together with the body of Christ, and I find that, you know, maybe I can play the guitar and somebody can sing. Okay, well, now I've got a guitar and a singer. But I can't play the drums. That person that sings can't play the drums. And all of a sudden, we find somebody else that plays the drums, and then we find somebody that plays the bass. Now what do we have? We have a band together. Right? But if you got somebody trying to play the guitar, trying to stomp on the bass drum and play the harmonica and sing at the same time, and you guys know it's not going to be as effective as if you had a full-fledged band. We as the body of Christ all have different abilities. We all have different talents. We all have different strengths, and we all have different weaknesses. And check this out. We all start at different places. Some of you guys are in this place tonight are well mature Christians. You know, you've been in the house of God, you've been in the family of the Lord for quite a while, and you have understanding of biblical concepts. Well, some of us in this place are just learning, are just trying to figure things out, or just our eyes are opening to the kingdom of the Lord. We are all at different places. No two people are the same. We're all like individual fingerprints in the body of God. You know how no fingerprint is the same. So we as the body of Christ, in order to operate in unity, in order for us to be more effective into the body of Christ, in order for us to be more effective in our own walk with God, in our own issues, and to deal with the trials and the tribulations and the temptations and the persecutions and the walks of faith that come our way, need to realize that not everybody is the same. And even when it comes down to us relating to somebody else and trying to relate, you know, not everybody goes through things the same way. I was just in a pastor's conference yesterday and was talking about a funeral and how we as people, we try to give solace to somebody by relating to them. And he was saying, you know, he was at a funeral and he was doing this person's funeral, and everybody would come up to him and say, "I know how you feel." But the truth of the matter is even though you've experienced something similar to somebody else, you don't ever know how somebody else feels, because we as the body of Christ, we're all different. And while we may have similar circumstances, we may have similar things going on in our lives, each person handles something differently. And we as the body of Christ, in order to operate in unity, need to have that first and foremost on our mind, to understand that, you know what, even though I'm going to try to do what I can, maybe what I have to say to this person may not be as effective as how they operate. Maybe if I tell them to do it this way, and this way, that may not be the way to do it for them, because they cannot operate that. You know, how many times have we gotten in a fight with somebody? How many times have we argued with somebody? Or how many times have we disagreed with somebody because we try to do it this way, they try to do it that way, but we came to the same conclusion, right? My wife and I were trying to teach my little brother-in-law how to add and subtract fractions. And Stacy had one train of thought on how to do it, and it worked. And I had one train of thought in the way I did it, and it worked. And the two of us trying to teach him our ways together did no benefit to him, because he's just looking at us wide-eyed like, too much, woo, over the head. We have to realize that we are all members of a body, but we're all different. Not all members of the body are the same. In 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, reading on, verse number 15 says, "If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" Verse number 17, "If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased." Verse number 19, "And if they were all one member, where would the body be?" Guys, the beautiful thing about the body of Christ is that we are all different. That is not a weakness of the body. That is not a fault of the body. That is not something that we look at and say, man, I wish we could all be the same. We could be like the clone army in Star Wars where they're all the same. And you know what? And he's going through something. He knows how to deal with it because I went through it and he's the same as me. But you know what? The bottom line is, guys, that's the beauty of the body of Christ, is that we are all different. Like Paul was saying, if the eye says, you know what? I don't want to be an eye, so I'm not going to be part of the body. Is the eye still in our body? Can the eye shut itself off and just say, no, I'm gonna go do my own thing, right? Can our ear just say, you know what, nah, I'm gonna pop off and go walk away and do its own thing? No, because it's connected. We're unified together, but each member serves a different purpose. Each one of us has a different calling in our life. Each one of us has a different talent. Each one of us has a different ability. When we join together in the body of Christ, then all of a sudden, like Paul's saying with the body, we become an effective kingdom for God. We become an effective army for God. How many of you guys know? Any of you guys in here, maybe some girls, I've heard them on the online, play video games. Okay. Rachel says she plays video games. All right. You girls have probably seen your brothers or your boyfriends or your husbands playing video games too. You know, there's different categories. You know, there was this one game that I was into for a long time called Call of Duty. And, you know, you could be like, yeah, you know, these guys, they're like, oh, what's up? You know, you could be a sniper. You could run around with a grenade launcher. You could run around with a submachine gun, a real small firing one that you can get nimble and run fast. You could run around with a big machine gun where you can just lay down the fire. You could run around with a knife trying to throw it at people and miss. But there was all different things. And you know what the beauty of it was? Is that each game and each different scenario that you played, you couldn't keep playing that same thing because people catch on to you. And you had to change. You had to diversify. Because if you just try to roll around being a sniper all the time and lay down on the ground, the guy's going to come over and stand behind you and, say, and find you. If you try to run around and knife the guy in the video game, after a while they're going to say, man, this guy's running around knifing. So just watch your thing. And when he runs at you, just know he doesn't have a gun. You have to diversify. And it's the same thing with us and the body of Christ. We have to realize that we have to diversify. And the beautiful thing is that God has already done that for us. Hello. We are already a diverse culture. We are already a diverse body, but what we need to do is bring that diversity, like Paul's saying, back into one body. It's not bad that you may not like the music that we play or the rock and roll. It's not bad that you may not like gospel or hip hop. It's not bad that you might like one type of art and you might like another. It's not bad that you like Ford and you like Chevy. It's not bad that you like import tuners or muscle cars. The diversity of Christ is the beautiful thing about the body, that we can all come together and we can all be different. But when we join together and we realize that we are one, we celebrate in the diversity of who we are in God. We celebrate that, you know what, we've got musicians that do this type of music. We've got musicians that do this type of music. We've got people over here that like this kind of type of group. We've got like this, the people over here that have this type of hobby. And you know what the beauty of that is? Is we can go out into the world unified as the body of Christ and be effective into the world, because you know what? We can reach each and every person, each and every generation, each and every culture, if we're unified in the body and realize that we are one. I did it. I'm sorry. It's too close. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to summarize it to you. Jesus tells about a parable. If you're taking notes, you want to look at it later. Matthew 25th, verse 15 through 30. Jesus tells a parable. It's a pretty familiar parable about talents. He talks about a master who goes away, and he says, hey, I'm going away. I'm going to give each three people, I'm going to give you talents. I'm going to give you money, all right? And do with it as you will. When I come back, I expect to get it. So he gives one guy one talent, he gives one guy five talents, and he gives one guy two talents, and he gives one guy 10 talents. And so the guy who gives a lot, he has a lot of expectation because, like I said, we are all at different positions. The master, Jesus says in the parable, he says, you know what, he gave each one according to their own ability. So the master comes back and he says, you know what? I know you're new at this or whatever, so I'm gonna start you off low. He says, you know what? I know you're a good investor, so I'm going to give you a lot. So don't be frustrated, guys, when you realize that somebody might have something higher or somebody might be at a position that you're wanting to be at, but you're not there yet. Okay, that's not favoritism. That's not God saying that, you know what, I can't use you. It's the matter of fact that we as a body are different. And we all start at different times. We all have different things going on in our lives. So here Jesus is talking about the master. He says, you know what? 10, 5, and 1, okay? And so the guy that knows all about it, he takes the 10 talents, invests it in the bank, because he knows his master's going to come back and he's going to want his money. So you know what? The guy invested in the bank collects interest on it. Check this out. The guy that had the medium amount of talents, right? The guy that had some kind of ability, he saw what the guy who had more did. and he followed after him. See, so that's what I'm saying. When you see somebody that's somewhere in where you want to be, man, I wish I could be up there preaching a message, or I wish I could be up there leading the praise and worship. You know, don't let that discourage you, because like Jesus said, there, to each his own ability. And at that point, he gave that guy that. But then what he did is, check it out. The other guy looked at him and said, man, he's making money off of that. I'm going to follow suit. And he takes his money and invests it, because the other guy did as well. Then the third guy, who's starting off on his own, says, you know, I'm a little afraid, so I'm going to bury it. So the master comes back and he says, hey, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little bit. I'm going to give you more. And he takes the guy that earned money with the 10 talents and he doubles it. He takes the money that the guy earned with the medium amount of talents and he doubles it. And then he looks back to the guy that says, you know what, you didn't do anything with what I gave you. You could have at least seen what they did and put it in the bank so that I didn't have anything, but instead you buried it in the ground. Guys, we as the body of Christ need to realize that we are at different positions. We are in different spots in our life. We're at different levels of authority. We're at different levels of maturity. We're at different levels of talent and strengths and weaknesses. But it doesn't mean that you stop there like the man with one talent and bury it in the ground. You can learn from the people above you. You can learn from the people beside you. You can learn from what's going on around you and take use of the talents, take use of the ability that God has given you and do something with it. We as the body of Christ, guys, are all different. And when we realize that, when we're relating to somebody, that's the strength that God has designed. The very DNA of our relationships with God is to rely on those around us. God brought us in as a community, as a family. And when we realize that people are different, we can be effective members of the body of Christ. Secondly, tonight, this one is a trip, man. The least noticed often gets the highest honor. Man, okay, hello, you're not catching this one. You're not catching this one. The least notice often gets the highest honor. Let me say it like this, we'll apply it to jobs. The worst job often gets the highest honor. You know, sometimes you guys look at, you know, you have a tendency to look at the pastor that's on the stage and say, man, God, is his rays of light are shining down on him, and he's blessing him, and he's anointing him, and he's sanctifying him, and he's blessed. Oh, I wish I could just be like that man. You know what? How many times have you been to a church where you've gone to the bathroom and you've seen the bathrooms have been cleaned? How many times have you been to the church and you've seen that the campus is trimmed or is organized, and you know the lawn care crew have done their job? You know, if you came to this place and the bathroom smelled like poo, I mean, come on, seriously. You know, you came to this place and it stunk, right? It was, weeds were overgrown. You get foxtails in your socks as you're walking around. If you come into this place and there's garbage laying all over the place, would you keep coming back? No, but you know what? The thing about it is that in the kingdom of God, we just place that off as standard convenience. But God says, you know what? In the kingdom of God, in the way my body works, those things that are least in heaven will be most. Those that are first will be last, and those that are last will be first. And Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians, in verse number 20. He says, but now, indeed, there are many members in one body, and the eye cannot say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm reading number 19, sorry. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Verse number 22, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. In our unpresentable parts we have greater modesty. Verse number 24, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part that lacks it. What God is saying is, you know what? All parts of the body are sanctified under him. All parts of the body, every person in the body of Christ has been given something by God. Every person in the body has been given talents and abilities and something else, like we just talked about being different. And God has placed honor on those. And just because you see somebody that may have a glamorous position and you say, you know what? I don't want to be the member of the body that does the less than glamorous position, doesn't mean that that's going to be an effective way of living and operating in the body of Christ. We're talking about unity. And what Paul is saying here is that if everybody wanted to be the eye, how would the body function? If everybody wanted to be the head, where would be the rest of the body? That each and every part plays an importance. I'm going to give you an example like this. A couple of years ago, I went and hiked with my brother-in-law, and I climbed the top of Mount San Gregorio, 11,500 feet. Did it in one day. We didn't think we were even going to do it. We just kind of set out to start walking, and we said, we're going to climb this mountain today. Before I climbed that mountain, I had no clue what a hip flexor was. Some of you guys are like, what is that? Is that like something you put on your hip? I had no idea what a hip flexor was, but when I came down that hill and the weeks following and the soreness ensued, I soon found out after searching, after going to the doctor, what a hip flexor was. A hip flexor is the tendon that wraps around your thigh and goes all the way up to your hip bone and then back down to your spine, and it's what pulls your leg up. I had no clue what a hip flexor was, but now I know every time I hike, that hip flexor needs to get stretched, because otherwise, for 2 weeks, I won't be able to walk. Oftentimes, we think of the members of the body. Oh, yeah, you know, we got arms and we got fingers and we can lift weights and we can have big biceps and big triceps and big flaptoids and deltoids and rheumatoids or whatever else we have. And we have no comprehension of the other parts of the body, like the hip flexor. But when that hip flexor starts to hurt, when that hip flexor, all of a sudden we realize that the body can't do without that, then all of a sudden, you know what? It doesn't matter so much if I've got big old biceps or big old triceps or big old pectorals or whatever it may be. If I can't walk, it does me no good. And all of a sudden I start to pay attention, okay, if I stretch like this and if I stretch like that. And you know what? I'm not even stretching my biceps. I'm not stretching my muscles. I'm stretching my hip flexor. Why? Because now I'm paying attention to what used to be something of low honor. And that's the same way it is in the body of Christ. You know, you might start off something small. You might just start off by saying God bless you to somebody as you leave. Or to give that waitress an extra tip and just say Jesus loves you. Or to do something at your work or your school to smile at somebody when they're having a bad day. Or to pass them your invited card to the Rock. Or to tell them, hey, you know what, we got a young adult service on Friday nights. You know, you may start off small. You know, say, you know, it's insignificant in the grand scheme of the whole body of Christ, like you were saying, Pastor Luke. There's some 2 billion people who call Jesus their Lord and Savior. So what is me saying God bless you? What is me giving a card to somebody? What is me having, you know, just a smile at somebody have to do anything with the body of Christ? But here Paul says that those of least honor, those parts that we think of and we just push off, we just shrug off and say, you know what, not a big deal. God says, Paul says, a biblical principle of the body is that the greater honor will be bestowed upon them. You may look at me at the pulpit and say, man, you know, he's got it going on. He's got the greater honor. But you know what the bottom line is, guys? You are the ones that go out into the highways and the byways. You are the ones that reach your generation. You are the ones that reach out to the people in your workforce. I can't go to ESRI. I can't go to Cal State San Bernardino all day long. I can't go to the schools or to the banks or to wherever it is you're at. You can. And we as the body of Christ need to realize that, you know what, sometimes we shun the lesser jobs. We shun the things that may not look so pretty. We shun coming and volunteering and say, you know what, hey, what does the church need? You know, we need someone help clean in the bathroom. Oh, heck no, I ain't doing that, never mind. You know, we shun that stuff, but you know what Paul's saying here is that the body of Christ, the less will be greater. The things that have no honor, the things that we shun off, God will bring up and give us honor too. So guys, don't despise small beginnings in your life. Don't despise being somewhere where you feel like, you know what, man, they've got so much going on for them. God's just blessing them, but it seems like he's overlooking me. Don't despise those positions in your life, because like Paul was saying, in the body of Christ, when we live together in unity and we understand that he's in a different position than I am, she's in a different spot than I am, and we're all together the same, then all of a sudden we can say, you know what, maybe someday I can be like that, like Jesus was talking about the parable of the talents. Maybe someday God can rest on me. Maybe someday God can impart that on me, and all of a sudden I can become the arm instead of the liver, or I can be the eye instead of the little toe, whatever it may be. If we understand that we as the body of Christ are different, and we understand that we as the body of Christ cannot just look at the low jobs and say, you know what, I don't want to do that, but realize that, you know, we all have to start somewhere. I had a good friend of mine who had been looking for a job, looking for a job, looking for a job, looking for a job. And for a while there, man, I was calling him, hey, man, so-and-so's hiring, so-and-so's hiring, so-and-so's hiring, so-and-so's hiring. Drove by poster, saw that they're hiring. You know what the bottom line is? After a while, I realized what the pattern was. He didn't just want to start somewhere. He didn't want to just start somewhere. He wanted to just kind of step into a career. He wanted to just step into a management. He wanted to just step into a job where he could be comfortable and buy a house and have a car and have 2.5 kids and a white picket fence. But guys, how many of you guys know that hard work pays off? We have to start somewhere. You know where I started? You think of me, okay, my last name's Cobra. You know, Pastor Jim's my dad. You know, so yeah, you, man, you just got elevated to the top. You know, your dad is, you know, you got hooked up, man. You know the boss, right? You know what my first job here was? Cleaning toilets. No joke, cleaning toilets. And of all the toilets that I had to clean at this building, the old building, I had to clean the toilets in the children's church. If any of you guys have kids or have little brothers or know little kids, you know they can't aim. And that was my first job here, was getting on my hands and knees with my face in the toilets, cleaning up little kids' poop and pee all over the place. I tell you what, changing the trash cans with all the diapers. And you know, I definitely had opportunity in my life to say, man, this job stinks. I got to go find something else. I'm not here. But you know what? The bottom line is I started cleaning toilets, then I started painting walls. And after I started painting walls, then they bumped me up to scraping the dents off the bumpers on the floorboards in the church. And then after doing floorboards, they said, you know what? We need help on Sundays doing PowerPoint in the sound booth. And then I went from PowerPoint in the sound booth to, hey, we need to start a video department here at the church. And I went from standing behind a camera in the sound booth to running a video department. And then I went from running a video department to, hey, we need help in the young adults. Can you play in the young adults band? And I went from playing in the young adults band doing the video department to, hey, we need leadership in the young adults ministry. And then I went from leadership in the young adults ministry to, hey, we need a pastor in the young adults. Guys, we have to start somewhere, and we cannot despise the small beginnings in our life. If you want to do something for God, like I talked about on Wednesday night, you say, Pastor Luca, how are you going to tie Wednesday night into it? Here's where I'm going to tie it into. Do something for God. You want to do something in community? You want to get involved in the body of Christ? Start somewhere. If there's a need, you fill it. Don't say, you know what, I can't fit into that position. I can't do this. You know, as a matter of fact, if there's a need, you need to step into it and do it and watch God then all of a sudden step in, because he says, those positions that have no honor, I will bring up and give honor. You cannot start, you cannot despise your small beginnings, church. You cannot despise somebody else who's got greater abilities or greater talents than you, because you never know that day if that person might do something great for God and you might come alongside of that person and support them. You never know that God might touch you and show you, like the man who was given the medium amount of talents, to see what that person was doing and then go farther than them. You never know, but you need to start somewhere. Start at wherever it is that you're at. And join together with the body of Christ. Join together with God and start to do something for God. Tonight we're talking about unity and community. We have to realize that we're not all the same. We have to realize that, you know what? The least noticed often will get the highest. In Mark, the 10th chapter, verse number 31, New Living Translation says, "But to many who are the greatest now will be least important then. And those who seem least important now will be the greatest then." Jesus says it right off the bat, talking about people who've left everything that they've had to serve him. And he says, yeah, they're going to face persecution. They're not going to have anything in their lives. They're going to be broke. They sold all they had and gave it to the poor. But he says, you know what? The least important now will be the greatest then. And then the greatest, the people, I wish I could be like Britney Spears. Where's she at? Oh, I wish I could be like Lindsay Lohan. Where's she at? Right? Because the greatest then will be the least now, you know what? But if you're faithful to God and you don't despise small beginnings and you're faithful to what God does and you join in the body of Christ and do whatever God has asked you to do, then you see unity in the community and you see God start to do something in your life. Tonight, last point. It's all for one and one for all. I said that and Pastor Joey started singing a Boyz II Men or something song. Three Musketeers song, yeah, you know. I'm not going to sing it. I don't have that talent. It's all for one, and it's one for all. Guys, that's the concept of us all together being a body, but we're all individuals, but at the same time, we are one body. We have so many different facets of what it is that we can do for the body of Christ. When it all boils down together, we all serve one purpose. We are all members of one body. We are all members of one community. It is all for one, and it is one for all. In looking at 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse number 25 through 27. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ as members individually. Here Paul is saying, if one person suffers, we as the body of Christ suffer. If one person goes through victory, we as the body of Christ go through victory. How many times in our life have we, in our own flesh, in our own, just in our own human habits and the way we are, have we just focused in on ourselves and we've seen somebody grow through something and just say, man, you know what, I really don't feel like talking to that guy today. Or we've seen somebody celebrate and say, you know, that's great, man, I wish I could celebrate like that. And we bring the focus back into us. When Paul is saying, let there be no schism, let there be no gap, let there be no discommunication within the body, because it is all for one and it is one for all. When one person suffers, the whole body suffers. Let's bring that back into the physical realm. Has anybody ever smashed their pinky fingernail? Okay, I got a couple of you guys in the back. Okay, a couple of you guys up in front. How many of you guys know that when you smash your pinky fingernail, it's like your heart moved from your chest into the tip of your finger, and it is like the most excruciating pain? How many of you guys have ever broken a toe or a finger? Okay, a couple of you guys in here. How many of you guys have ever broken or sprained a member of your body? Finger jammed, ankle, sprained an ankle, broke a leg, broke an arm. How many of you guys know that the whole body suffers? Right? When you jam your little pinky finger, you know, for a while there, Pastor Joey was trying to get me to play basketball while we were in Bible college, and it just took one day for him to throw a ball at me and me to just not have my finger in the right spot, and that finger went too far in there, and all of a sudden it was like I couldn't move my arm, and I couldn't move my elbow, and I felt pain in my leg. Because you know what? When one member of the body suffers, the whole member of the body suffers. But you know what? When one member of a body goes through victory, you know what? The whole body goes through that same victory. We have a tendency so often to look and focus in on the bad and forget about the good. But you know what? The good and the bad come together. It's a member. It's all a part of being the body of Christ. How many of you guys know that, like a runner, like what was his name? Bolt. Usain Bolt, right? Usain Bolt. When he won the gold medal in the Olympics, right? His feet weren't like, you know, jumping around. He's like, yeah, you know, my feet, they won. My leg, they won, right? His whole body won. He himself won that. But, you know, did his liver have anything to do with it? Maybe, maybe not. You know, I mean, sports scientists, kinesiology majors might be able to tell that. But the whole body celebrated in the same victory. We as the body of Christ, guys, have got to realize that it is all for one and one for all. And that's where Ecclesiastes comes back to say that a threefold cord is not easily broken. A rope with many strands cannot be pulled apart. Why? Because when it is all for one and one for all, when one strand breaks in that rope, when one piece of that rope breaks, there's others to gain and to hold on and to keep the pressure tight so that the body doesn't fall, so that the climber doesn't fall. But if it's only one cord, if it's only one strand in that, when we fall, that rope breaks. When we have a victory, who do we look around to and see? Who can we celebrate? Who can we share with that? Oh man, you won't believe what just happened to me. Guys, we've got to remember that when we're talking about the body of Christ, that we have got to join together in unity. We have got to share amongst each other our victories and our pain. It's not an easy thing to let people in, and it's not an easy thing to help people who are in need. And oftentimes, guys, it is not an easy thing to celebrate with somebody that you have no care for what it is that they're doing. But you know what the bottom of the line is? Paul's saying here, the body of Christ, if we are to be in unity, if we are to be a community of believers in one body, we have to be all for one and one for all. You know, I had a friend that was telling me that they were going through a hard time and nobody in the church said anything to him. But you know what the world, what's funny about the world is that when he was going through that hard time, all of a sudden his buddies were calling him up. Hey man, what's up? What you doing? Yo, come over to my house. We'll talk about it. But he was telling me, man, nobody would help me in the church. You know, what benefit does that do for us in the body of Christ? What benefit does that do to unify and to become a community when we excommunicate somebody because we can't relate to their problems? Or when we excommunicate somebody or we don't acknowledge the fact that they've gone through something good in their life because it doesn't relate to us, guys. It is all for one and it is one for all. If we are to be a body of Christ, we've got to realize, listen, we are all different. And that's the beautiful part about us. Each and every one of us have different fingerprints than the other. God has given each and every one of you guys a different talent, a different ability, something different that you can use for the kingdom of God. And that when we all come together, we form one body. We've got to realize that, you know what, sometimes we have to start low to work our way up. We have to realize that, you know what, the least honored positions, cleaning up the garbage, or just smiling to somebody that you can't stand is what brings the greatest honor to the kingdom of God. And to start somewhere with what we're doing. And finally, tonight we need to realize that we are all for one and one for all. In closing tonight, I want to remind you that Ecclesiastes say, one may be overpowered by another. Two, can withstand him. Three, a threefold cord is not easily broken. Guys, tonight, will you make the decision to go through your life alone? Or will you try to get out of your I generation of my pads or my spaces and my take the earphones out of your iPod and begin to be a member of a community operating in the unity of Christ? Did you guys get something out of that tonight?